That is the Wolf Tones there. And after 60 years of performing, they are set to hang up their mics this year. But is their music respected enough? Should we acknowledge the importance of rebel songs more? Well, Brian Warfield from the Wolf Tones joins me on the line now. Brian, you're very welcome.
Good afternoon, Claire. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you for coming on. What changes would you like to see?
Well, what changes towards Irish music?
Yes.
Yeah, I think, an attitude should be changed in RTE for a start and in other radio stations across Ireland, because it's an important part of our musical heritage. And, they're the people that set up our state. They're the people who fought for our state. So I don't think we should be shy in acknowledging their part in the history of our country. And I think it's despicable that, in fact, they don't acknowledge that. And there's been a systemic ban on the Wolf Tones since Section 31 was brought in, and the Wolf Tones are totally banned on RTE. We're 6 years together. I don't think a late late show will ever happen for the Wolf Tones. I think there's more chance of us having been invited to sing on the moon than to sing on a Late Late Show special. So we'll probably wait on that invitation to have a gig up in the moon.
And can you see why there could be some people who aren't happy with hearing rebel songs?
Well, if they're in Ireland, they should be make their peace with that and acknowledge our culture and acknowledge the fact that we do have heroes just as much as any other country has them. And remember that, the unionist people, gave accolades to their politicians who divided Ireland. Eileen Foster got damehood or whatever it is, and Geoffrey Donaldson got a knighthood and everything else. So, they acknowledge the people that kept Ireland divided. And as all as we're trying to do is, give an accolade to our great heroes of Ireland, which is very important. It's important to me and it's important to the Irish people. Not every Irish person, obviously, but still some are hanging on to the Union Jack. And, that's probably the problem. I can't help that or respect the fact they still want to be a little British. And if they want to be, that's fine by me.
People will say that it incites division, that it can incite hatred. But would you like people to see it with a different lens and that it's just very much part of our history?
Yeah, well, don't forget that the Wolf Tones have had a great spread of music. We don't just sing, about one side or another. I've written a song called The Protestant Man. I'd like the people of the Protestant heritage to remember the great men of 1798, to remember the Presbyterian leaders, to remember the people that gave so much, their lives, their wealth, everything they had for the people they loved and the country they loved. They tried to bring a united Ireland about so there'd be no poverty in our country, that we could make decisions for ourselves. And they're the great Protestant men that I love. And they're respected by me. So, we've sung the Thatch Me Father War, and it's a great song. It's part of our heritage, part of our musical heritage. The old Orange Flute. We know all about those great songs and great people of our Protestant heritage. I have a Protestant heritage myself, so I'm not biased against anybody in the country. If they want to be British, I'm not going to stop them. But you can't go against the majority and tell everybody else they can't be Irish.
How do you feel about hanging up the mic, Brian? 60 years is a huge run. But how do you feel about retirement coming up?
Well, I'm not retiring. That's for sure. I have a musical play coming out, and it's based in the 1840s. It's a love story that crashes into the potato blight, and then it's a struggle for love, a struggle against an arranged marriage and love marriage. It's a struggle to survive, and it's a struggle to get out of Ireland and survive in another place, and eventually to get off on a boat to America. So it's a story of Irish America, you might say. But, I'm still a songwriter, and I'll be bringing out songs, after the Wolf Tones hang up their boots or whatever. But, you know, I have a new song coming out called Chucky Erlaw. And, you know, that I present that to the people. It's a fun song. It's a song, you know, asking people to remember 70 and 98 rather than remembering 60 and 90. 60 and 90 is a foreign king who came over to Ireland and had a fight in our country. We weren't a part of that. We didn't want that fight in our country. King Billy and King James, both English kings. And, you know, they fought and created havoc in our country. But the men of 70 and 98, both Protestant and Catholic, Presbyterians, the great leaders, my God, you couldn't get better examples. Wolf Tone, who we called ourselves after, they were there for united Ireland, a peaceful Ireland, a prosperous Ireland. And that's what it's all about. So I'd love the unionist people to come together with the people of Ireland. And that's what the Chucky Erlaw song is about. It's about bringing all Irish people together and, you know, make a better place. One island in the sun, let's fix it now.
Well, Brian, good to hear there are still songs to be sung and stories to be told. Brian Warfield from the Wolf Tones there. And lots of you getting in touch about this one and our attitude to rebel songs. It's sickening that their songs are put down, says a texter. It's our history, our heritage, and it's true. Lauren Dublin says, Irish music has such a low listenership. Natively, most of us have little interest in it and even less interest for sectarian rebel songs. Leave that stuff in the past. It is of zero relevance now and most of us would like to forget it. Another says our songs are our history and for politicians to be politically correct is them ignoring our history. Shame on them. Well, I want to bring in Alan Buckley, head tour guide at the Irish Rock and Roll Museum Experience. Alan, you're very welcome.
Lovely to be on again. Thank you very much, Tara.
Alan, does rebel music get enough recognition?
Well, I think there's a debate here about what constitutes a rebel song. I think what Brian, first of all, I'd like to congratulate Brian on an amazing 60 years in the music business and for his contribution to Irish music. We do have to remember that obviously I work in a rock and roll museum, but that Irish rock and roll comes out of tradition of Irish traditional music. In fact, probably the first real Irish hit rock song was Whiskey in the Jar, a famous folk song turned into a rock song by the band Thin Lizzy. So I think we cannot separate our folk tradition from our modern culture, from our modern history. And when we talk about rebel songs, I suppose there's a part of Ireland that we don't like to talk about, or should I say Irishness we don't like to talk about. There was a great deal of debate after the weekend about people booing anthems at the soccer match.
Yeah.
And of course, and that's a live debate. But immediately after the booing of the British national anthem, did we not all sing a rebel song?
We didn't cover that part in our discussion, but and singing of rebel songs attached to sporting occasions also has come under the spotlight. So you are sometimes delving into very dangerous territory. But when you have people arrive to the museum experience, is there a recognition of rebel music internationally?
Absolutely. Because, of course, the great and the what we might even refer to as the canon of Irish traditional music, which could be, you know, bands that are very internationally well known, like the Chieftains, the Dubliners and the Clancy Brothers. And of course, the great John Sheehan on the Late Late Show, when he was celebrating his 80th birthday, was greatly recognised, of course. Did the Dubliners not sing a very famous song called The Old Alarm Clock, which is about an IRA man using an alarm clock to ignite dynamite? It is an uncomfortable truth. And of course, the rebel song I was referring to was, of course, the National Anthem, which is a song about the fighting Irish and overcoming the yoke of oppression. There is a sense that we are a country that has come out of a colonial past. And shaking off a colonial yoke involves, shall we say, unpleasantness. It involves the actions of people who have done, for better or for worse, violent things. And, of course, in any country's history, there is a celebration of certain revolution, uprising. And it is all part of who we are. So we cannot extract the rebel song from the formation of what it means to be Irish, and nor can we talk about Irish culture without talking about our songs that are based in the reality of struggle.
Interesting and uncomfortable truth. Alan Buckley, head tour guide at the Irish Rock and Roll Museum Experience. Thank you for coming on. I want to stay on the phones. Bernie is on the line in Galway. Bernie, you're very welcome to Lunchtime Live here on News Talk. How are you?
Fine, thank you, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. You think we should embrace rebel music, or what are your thoughts on it?
Okay, so I started as a nurse in 1976, a student nurse, and we went to the Wolf Tones every Tuesday down in the Wexford Inn. And we had our one glass of drink, and that was it. And we listened to their music. And I did not feel, I felt I was wrapped in my Irishness. And I heard the stories that I probably learned in history.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because to suggest perhaps that it's inciting hatred, to listen to the stories is to appreciate what happened in the past. It's not necessarily going to bring it about to the present, or a wish to bring it back to the present.
No, and like we had learned history, all done our Leaving Cert, learned the Irish history in the books that we were at the time. We walked around the streets of Dublin, we went to the Trinity College, we went to all to see all our Irish history. And so to hear the stories of what our people before us had to go through in the times when England was here and ruling us, and to hear how they had to live and how to manage, it came through in our songs. It's in our songs. It's in all songs. And, you know, putting a title on them, they're rebel songs. They're not. They're songs of a nation who had who went through severe, severe colonial, you know, taken over. And they kept their Irishness. They went to America and they kept it alive. They kept the traditions of Ireland alive. And it came into our music and our dance. And like most of us have learned the tin whistle or a piano or, you know, and was Irish music we started out with. And I don't see anything wrong with that. Why? We're Irish people and we're denying something that was part of our lives and our heritage and our parents and what they passed on to us.
Bernie, thanks for coming on. And we did a big clear out recently of some of my dad's books, and there's a whole section where he has Irish music and the words and songs. And, you know, I just wonder, are we losing that tradition a little? Because I thought, God, what will I know any of the words of these songs? Will I remember this? And, you know, when Bernie describes it in that way, you think of all the, you know, traditional Irish songs being lost. And it is really sad, be them rebel or otherwise. Daniel is on the line in Dublin. Daniel, what are your thoughts on this ban?
So I think the first thing is that, is there actually a ban, and is the ban related to, or is it a disinclination to have the Wolf Tones on particularly? Because I think it's interesting, Brian does a good job of conflating all rebel songs with the Wolf Tones as if it was the same subject, and it's not. The difference with the Wolf Tones was during the IRA's campaign, they were supportive of it, and they sang the songs supportive of the activities in the 70s and 80s. Not stuff to do with 100 years ago and the War of Independence in you know, the late 1910s and the early 1920s. So Brian's doing a good job of sort of saying, oh, don't be attacking me, you're attacking Irish rebel songs. Whereas in reality, RTE seemed to be just disinclined to have them on. It's not like the Wolf Tones were big hit makers. They weren't in the charts that much, so presumably RTE didn't have them on because they weren't that popular with the public at the time.
And do you think there is a respect for rebel songs as part of our history and our culture?
Well, as rebel songs, generally, yes, there is. And I don't see anybody who's going around the place saying we're banning rebel songs. The issue that comes up, and Brian did the same thing 12 months ago, he sort of victimizes himself and says, oh, there's a ban on rebel songs, or he's really talking about the fact that the Wolf Tones aren't particularly on RTE, or maybe they weren't, you know, played elsewhere. That's really sort of him wrapping himself in all rebel songs as if he was the only one to have written one or been involved in playing them. And I think the really weird thing is that Brian is, I know there's an ego in playing live and that, but he's trying to put himself on a par with the Chieftains and the Dubliners or Joe Dolan or Big Tom or people who were really well respected, played huge crowds consistently throughout their career, and they would have had a tribute show in the late to have the Wolf Tones trying to put themselves on that level is kind of ludicrous. I mean, I was looking back, they had a couple of songs that were like number 14 and number 12 in the charts in 1990. In recent years, because of controversy, they've managed to get themselves back up and have a high profile. But, you know, these aren't exactly massive hit makers throughout the years. They were, you know, they were bands, they were playing away live, but you could just as easily be saying, why don't we do a tribute show for Gina Dale Hayes and the Champions? Because they were around since the early 70s.
All right, Daniel, that's your thoughts on it. We'd like to know what you feel. Lunchtime Live at newstalk.com. Do you agree with Daniel? A texter says, the Wolf Tones will be around for hundreds of years after they have gone. I've been able to teach my kids more Irish history through their songs because what's taught in schools is not enough. The singing of rebel songs doesn't make one a terrorist. It makes us Irish people enjoying our music and proud of our history and ancestors. Well, I want to bring in Dr. Michael Murphy, IADT lecturer and music industry expert. Michael, you're very welcome.
Thanks very much. Great to be on.
What's your take on this?
Well, there's a historical context, you know, for the Wolf Tones, and I think Brian alluded to it. You know, this very, very rich musical tradition in Ireland of folk songs that have been sung for hundreds of years. And, you know, fair play and full credit to Brian. He mentioned the unionist tradition has also delivered, you know, brilliant songs, really well-composed, artful songs. So both sides of the communities have a really, really rich musical tradition. And sometimes they flowed in and out. So there are songs that might have lyrics that would be nationalist and the same tune then would be taken almost like in rap. It would be taken and the unionist community would put their lyrics on it. And I'm very moved, Claire, by, you know, you're talking about your father and, you know, when you go through things that were so cherished, you know, history books, song books, of people, you realise what really counted to Irish people throughout history.
Yeah, and it makes me sad because, you know, when my dad and his generation would get together, they'd all sing a song. And among me and my friends, nobody is singing a song, you know, and it's sad to think of that being lost. Those stories and that history and that culture of what it means to be Irish. There's still plenty of sing songs going on up and down the country, but not the way it used to be.
Yeah, I think that's such an important point, and I'm so glad that you're articulating that. But the patterns of music have changed. So, you know, let's look at the overall statistics. Irish people don't support Irish artists. We're amongst the lowest in Europe. We're generally down with Switzerland and Austria in terms of what percentage of all of the music consumed in a country is by local acts. So we listen to global music and we don't listen or buy or support our local acts, you know, with very few exceptions. But statistically, we're at the low end of that scale, which is very unusual. And, you know, you mentioned certainly my parents' generation as a child, you know, you would have gone into pubs, certain pubs, and, you know, they would have just erupted into a sing-along at a particular time. There weren't bands playing. And I was certainly taught in national school that the nationalist ballads, you know, and we'd sing them as a class. If you played more Wolf Tones, you know, you'd have 420,000 listeners, you know, waving their hands even when they're stuck in traffic. So music is very important in Ireland, but there's another context. And the context is, you know, if you played the Wolf Tones, would you then play a song that has meaning to the unionist community? You know, another great song is as good as a Wolf Tone song. And then in the middle, or as part of that trio of songs, would you play something that would now be considered rebel music, which would be some kind of anarchist punk song by, you know, our bands like Paranoid Visions, you know, just to bring in all strands of opinion.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you wonder, does censorship go too far? I mean, even with certain words being blocked out of modern day pop or rap music, my young son will even say, what? Why did they bleep that out? Sure, that's ridiculous, as if hearing it is going to incite it actually happening. And there is a discussion to be had there sometimes, isn't there?
Oh, without question. But again, bit of context for Ireland. We banned films. We banned newspapers. We banned magazines. We banned theatre, even by Irish writers. And we never banned music. Now, this has gone back to the formation of the state, you know, the 1930s to 1940s. Irish governments are very vigilant of, you know, trying to protect Irish culture and making sure that, that we get to preserve things that, that are historically important. Music was never banned in this country, which is very interesting because music records were seen as great servants of the Irish project. They were very Catholic. When you think of John McCormack, you know, one of the biggest pop stars, one of the two highest earning pop stars of the early period of the music industry going into mass production, you know, and he's singing Catholic hymns. He's putting out benefit records for Catholic churches. The papal nuncio stays in his mansion when he comes over to Ireland. So music was always seen as a great servant of the Irish national estate, which was seen as Catholic. And to me, the Wolfe Tones belong in that very, very rich tradition.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. Dr. Michael Murphy there, IADT lecturer and music industry expert. Really enjoyed that discussion. And just so we're clear, in that clear out of books, I kept all of the music books with all of the words of all of the songs. What will happen to them? Who knows? But they were certainly kept. My mum and dad used to go and see the Wolfe Tones, says a texter, in the 60s when they sang normal ballads. But my mum says the Wolfe Tones music then changed towards pro-IRA songs, etc. My parents had no interest in them then. And I suppose it comes down to personal choice with what goes out there. We'd like you to continue to send in your thoughts. You can also WhatsApp us on 087 1400 106.